Bob, thank you so much for joining us here. As a 42-year-old who works in this business, you were the guy I wanted to emulate, and I watched in every single capacity from all your sports work to your later show. So thank you so much for taking the time. I hope you are healthy and safe, and thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, George. Yes, luckily healthy and safe and well-situated and thankful to be fortunate enough to be able to say that. And thank you for the kind words by way of introduction.
Well, let me get started here with something we were just talking about before we even get into baseball. Bob, what do you make of the social changes you're seeing in this country right now, and particularly the role that sports is playing?
Yeah, it's a very broad topic, and to address it with any sort of nuance takes more time than we have here. But the end of your question, I think, is pertinent. For a very long time, we've heard the mantra, stick to sports, stick to sports. And what that has almost always meant, depending upon what direction it came from, was stick to sports unless you're saying something I want to hear and something I agree with. Well, now they can't keep the lid on that jar any longer. The voices are out there. That doesn't mean that every voice is equally valid or thoughtful or insightful. But the voices are out there, and sports, as it has been many times over the years historically, you have to be completely ignorant of history to think and assert that sports and social issues and political issues have never intersected, should never intersect, and never the twain shall meet, and it should always be just there's a ground ball to shortstop and nothing more. That's never been true, and it's certainly not true now. And it's interesting that these social issues have once again come to the fore during a period of time when there is virtually no live sports to speak of, a little bit of golf, tennis coming, whatever, but no team sports to speak of. Therefore, there's even more time that has to be filled in sports coverage, whatever you want to call it, and it's being filled with discussions about social issues. So the dynamics here have made it even more prominent than it has ever been before, and there's just no escaping it, so get used to it.
Bob, we've had a lot of discussions here about the NBA, specifically about the ability to both play and also support the causes and movement of social justice in this particular case. Kyrie Irving has been someone who has been very vocal about this. There's been some commentary as to how genuine he's been about his motivations. But what do you make of Kyrie Irving's position, which is basically you can't play because it takes away from the movement?
I don't think there's much logic to it. It's not as if there isn't a whole lot of airtime, a whole lot of digital space where any variety of subjects can be discussed. And once these players are back doing what they're best known for, then there's no reason to think that that takes their voice away. Keep in mind, Kyrie Irving is a wonderful player. I'm sure he's well-intended. He's also someone who asserted seriously, not tongue-in-cheek, that the earth is flat. So I think reasonable people can make distinctions between how much weight and how much time they invest in listening to the thoughts of this person as opposed to that.
And to your point, LeBron James has clearly shown us you can do both. He just recently started a voter initiative program for African Americans, and he's more than willing to play and utilize that platform. And Adam Silver has been such a player-friendly commissioner. But Bob, let's switch over to baseball here real quick. Clearly, the pendulum has swung in regards to public perception between the owners and players in Major League Baseball. How do you view the current state of these ongoing negotiations?
Obnoxious, myopic, insufferable, while much of the country suffers. If you want an example of can't see the forest for the trees, both from the standpoint of their place in society, but also in what's best for their business, I've said this in a couple of places before. They are like the parties to a particularly bitter divorce, arguing over who gets the sofa and who gets the silverware, and meantime the house is on fire. Put the fire out. 2020 is just a one-off. It's not, no matter what these people with their tunnel vision think, it's not a predicate for what's going to happen in 2021 when they'll have to pound out another collective bargaining agreement. It's all a one-off. Do the players really think, no matter what the owners propose in terms of contracts, do they really think the owners want to play without fans indefinitely? or want to play with teams isolated in their own time zones indefinitely. Both parties should have seen that given the current atmosphere, a pandemic, an economic crisis, and now add to it social unrest that's going on, that it just would not play well at all in the court of public opinion to have their petty and parochial disputes take precedence over getting back on the field. If the coronavirus, which doesn't recognize any of these factors, if the coronavirus had derailed them once they started or forced them to start later than they would have hoped, the public would have understood that. Now, if they come back playing 60 games, 64 games, 50 games, whatever it is, the public will know the reason for that, at least at the outset, is because of their labor dispute, not anything that has to do with external circumstances like the coronavirus. And then on top of it, they could get derailed because it's such a difficult needle to thread. They could start, even under disputed circumstances, and have to stop again if the virus surges or enough players or people surrounding the game come down with COVID-19. So it was a mess to begin with. Football is going to face it. I don't know if they can play football in the fall. The NBA hopes it can complete its season. The NHL the same. None of those things are assured. But only baseball has made a public relations mess out of it.
Bob, how would you compare this to the 94 strike and the effects that it could have?
It's bad already. It could get worse because although everyone's hopeful, there's no guarantee that the virus is going to cooperate even in 2021. So that season could be interrupted or truncated. And then it's possible, since these parties never seem to be able to clearly see their mutual interest, it's possible that they could butt heads again and there could be some kind of lockout or strike in 2022. And then you'd have potentially three seasons blighted by not just interruption of play, but by continued resentment. Now, in 94 into 95, they lost the World Series of 94. That had never happened. Despite all the history of labor disputes, that had never happened before or since. And they lost the completion of a season in which Tony Gwynn was on the verge of perhaps hitting 400, and other teams had had success for the first time in a long time. The Cleveland Indians were beginning to assert themselves. The Montreal Expos had their best shot ever at getting to the World Series. Ken Griffey Jr. was on a possible 60-home run pace. There were a lot of interesting things happening at that point, and they lost that. So that's not comparable to what's happening to baseball in 2020 because they didn't have a season underway. But there's still the resentment that was always there. You know, the mantra is, and it's cliched, and maybe it's shallow, but people latch onto it, billionaires fighting with millionaires. That's always been there. But now it takes place in the middle of all the circumstances we talked about before, medical, economic, sociological. Now I would think people have even less patience with it. So in a way, it could be even worse.
Bob, how would you assess Rob Manfred's ability to be the commissioner of baseball at this particular moment?
Well, his strength when he was Bud Selig's top lieutenant, his strength was always negotiating. He is close to universally regarded as a very savvy negotiator. So far, that strength has not been able to carry the day. So I think I like Rob Manfred very much personally. I respect his intelligence and his intentions, but there have been some things over the last year. I don't know that people's reaction to his punishments regarding the Astros were completely fair. I think he was limited by circumstances, and so a lot of the grief that he caught I thought was disproportionate, but there is that in the minds of many, and now there's this. And no matter how you apportion the blame, the guy at the top always gets more of it. He's the commissioner of baseball. Baseball's in a bad way. If they can't salvage something out of this, not just in 2020, but all the things we talked about going forward in 21 and 22, then it's going to hurt his legacy. But the story is yet to be fully told, so we still got a chance to turn that ship around.
Bob, due to COVID-19 and everything that's transpiring, how confident are you that we'll even have sports?
Not fully confident. The NBA and the NHL have the best shot because they only have to complete in a condensed period of time and in one place, complete what they started. But even then, that's not assured, as you see that there's a little bit of wobbling regarding the NBA. Just this past couple of days, we find out that eight or nine Phillies, five players and others associated, and we're talking about the whole roster, not 25 or 26 people. They've got more people than that gathered at the moment or about to gather. Eight or nine have tested positive. So we know that even if a given sport does everything right, they're up against a set of medical circumstances that are unpredictable and perhaps uncontrollable. So I think that basketball and hockey have the best shot at it, although it's not guaranteed. But football and baseball have to play some semblance of a regular season before they get to the payoff of their postseason. And there's no guarantee they can ever get that far. It's a tightrope walk, and who knows if you get from one side of the ravine to the other.
Bob Costas with us here. Bob, I know there was talk about, at least initially with Major League Baseball, about creating a bubble environment, much like the NBA and MLS and NHL. But clearly that wasn't going to fly with the players. How would you have felt if they were going to play in that type of environment? Would you feel better?
Well, I think fans in general would accept almost anything as a one-off under these circumstances. When you start with not having fans, already you're into a unique situation. So altering the playoff format, playing the World Series at a neutral site, isolating in only a few places. But remember, those places initially were Florida and Arizona. Then they added Texas. Those are three states that are surging right now in terms of the coronavirus. I think that people would have accepted any of those circumstances as fans. But going back to what I said a moment ago, baseball and football have to get in a regular season, even if it's a shortened regular season. That's a whole lot different. Asking people to isolate that way is a whole lot different than asking NHL players or NBA players to isolate in a nice enough location, Orlando or Vegas, for a sport that plays indoors with no fans, not dependent upon weather in any way, and for a relatively short period of time. A lot of players are uncomfortable with even that. But to do it over a long period of time, I don't think the public would mind it because it's just a television product for the time being. But the players, and I think that would be a big problem.
Bob Costas, legendary broadcaster. Of course, you can check out his work at MLB Network. Bob, an absolute pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much for taking the time. Stay healthy, stay safe, and thanks again.
Thank you, George.
There he is, Bob Costas, for this year.